What's going on, Reality Daily listeners? This is Jeremy here to talk Survivor 45 finale. Yes, sir. We are here. It's almost Christmas time, and we have quite the gift for you today. We've got a great episode to talk about. Can't do it alone, so I've got Wyatt here with me. Wyatt, I'm glad that we can talk about this episode. I know you've got a lot to say, and I've got a lot to say right back.
Yeah, it was a chaotic finale. I would say that we got the result that we expected, but the way that we got there was not the way that I was thinking. But I know you pretty much predicted this to a T.
Yes, so we like to do as friends, we like to look at finales, and we like to kind of guess what's going to happen. And I can confirm, and Wyatt is my witness, that I had the script. I had the script all along, Wyatt. NFL, call me.
Yeah. Well, my question is like, did you expect it to be as competitive at Final Tribal as it was? Because my anticipation was, is if you told me that it was going to be D, Austin, Jake, Final Three, I would have expected Jake to get at least more votes than Austin. You know, I figured Austin may get one. I thought Jake may be able to slide a couple. But Austin ended up with three votes, to me, is very shocking.
Yeah, you know, we've kind of dogged Austin a little bit these last couple of weeks, really ever since the Julie vote, where he showed that weakness, that he was so willing to share secrets with Dee that he probably shouldn't have. And we saw that it bit him in the ass last week when Drew got voted out, and we kind of ruled out Austin to be any kind of serious contender to win. And yet this guy was one or two votes away from really winning the season. I mean, it's kind of surprising, but I will say, like, Jake had a lot going for him going up into this episode, and even during this episode he had a really good edit during the episode as well. And I think that, you know, the new era, especially we look at the third place zero vote finalist, and for most of the time, you know, like, we look at Xander, we look at, I'm sorry, Romeo doesn't necessarily qualify for this, but we look at, you know, Owen, and we look at Carolyn, and we look at Jake, and all four of those players are very dissimilar to a lot of third place finalists from before, where we really felt like, you know, even though they were third and no one voted for them to win on the jury, you know, they still had a chance to. And you can even go further back and look at Michelle as someone who also deserved votes despite not getting any in the final three. So I think, like, we're so used to this GOAT edit as being like, oh, it's the person that doesn't deserve to be in the final three. But the way that it's been portrayed, especially in the last couple of seasons in the new era, you know, it's given otherwise. And I like that, you know, it gives you multiple opportunities at the final three to see several different options in how the story ends. Instead of just limiting it to two of the three options, you know, they don't do that until right at the very end. And I like that. I don't know what about you, Wyatt, but I think it's a good thing for the show that it has a more fair edit for its finalists.
I definitely think that's something that we've seen over the new era quite a bit. And I think a lot of it comes down to casting. Now, I have been very anti some of the casting, despite the fact that I thought we got a really good season in 44, 43, 42, 44. I mean, 45, I'm a little bit meh. On 41, I'm a little meh on as well. But I think that the reason why we're not getting the GOAT edit is because even though somebody may be playing a GOAT game on paper, they are not going to be perceived that way because they're able to defend it in a way that maybe the average person wouldn't be able to see. If Katora made it to the end, I think that she would have had a compelling case, despite from what we can tell from on paper, she has no right to be winning this game. But I still think she would be competitive in that way. And I think that's because they're casting just more intelligent people that are able to think about the game in different ways. And even though it is not what the average person would consider to be a good game, they can defend it in a way that's different, where it's like, okay, you go back to, you know, Sherry from like Survivor Karen Moen, it's like, okay, well, you know, she's not going to be able to defend that game, going to the end with like Cochran and Don. But like, if you put somebody in that position now that's getting cast in the new era, they're a lot more smarter. So they're able to kind of give a little bit more devil's advocate, where at least we can understand as viewers why they made the moves they did.
I think another thing too is the fact that, you know, when Mike Gabler wins 43, it kind of opens the idea of, you know, really anyone can win at the end if they can sell their game well enough. And I think we kind of thought maybe that Jake had a chance because he could sell his game well enough, and maybe it was worth some votes. I think it got some merit, but maybe not enough merit to warrant getting any votes. And I think compared to Dee, I think it's very safe to say that she deserved these votes over Jake, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think that there's going to be many people that are going to make a real intelligent, theory of why Austin or Jake should have won. Now, I think that you can make some discussions where you can say, hey, like Jake, as he said, you know, he was always trying to make the moves, and Dee and Austin played kind of safe. Like, here's the thing about Dee, and this is something that I think is a little bit of a strike against her when it comes to the new era, is like, you know, you do want the people that are going to make a little bit moves, because the people that are playing the game are a little bit more incentivized to make moves. They're talked about a little bit more. They're shoved down our throats. So if you're somebody like Dee, who just rides your alliance until they basically turn on your ally in Julie, you know, you didn't make a move. You play defense, essentially, to get Drew out. And, you know, maybe if you go against somebody like Jake, who at least was always trying to make the move, I can understand how a jury would look at Jake and give him that win, as opposed to what you were talking about with Gabler, with Owen, who I think had a very similar trajectory in the game where nobody was listening to him either. It was a little bit different, because I feel like what Owen was trying to pitch was like what was good for Owen, where it did seem like a lot of things that Jake was trying to pitch would have actually been beneficial for other people. Katora, Kendra at sometimes, even Bruce at times, right? So it does make you feel a little bit worse for him, because other people should have been incentivized. Now, obviously, that's going to be on Jake for not persuading people the way that he should. But to me, this is a little bit different than the Owen situation. So I can understand why somebody would think that. But I do think the jury made the right decision here in giving it to Dee.
Yeah, let's kind of go through this episode a little bit. And I'm sure we'll go through some tangents as the episode goes on in terms of just overall season and, you know, what the finale format looks like, vice versa. So we get right to this new beach, which, you know, I saw Owen, ironically enough, tweet about it, and it was like, you know, it's not really compelling, on TV. Like, they don't really make too much of a big deal of it, but it can be a little bit, you know, it can add to the stress of the end game, by going to this new beach and kind of, you know, starting from scratch kind of thing, even if it is only for a 3-day period. But you know, that really doesn't play too much of a role. But in the morning on day, I guess it's day 24, they are given the, you can win an advantage in the immunity challenge. And we've seen this before, but this one is a little bit different. They are told that there are 3 different stations on the beach, and they have to count each station. And then the 3 numbers at the beach will give you a combination. And if you get the combination correct, then you can win an advantage in the game. And everyone's going for it, some a little bit quicker than others. But Jake is going to have a very interesting mnemonic device here. He's going to use Survivor Winners as a way to remember numbers. So I think one of the numbers was 18 crabs. So he's like, well, in season 18, JT wins. So he's going to say JT instead of 18 to remember that. And I think that's, you know, I mean, remembering 2 numbers or remembering 3 numbers versus 3 Survivor players, like, I guess 3 Survivor players is easier because you're thinking about, you know, you have similar numbers. I don't know. But regardless of whether or not, you know, it's better or worse, it worked for Jake because he's going to win this advantage. And I guess, Wyatt, you know, you mentioned it in your notes that you wrote up, but you know, this, and I agreed, like, this kind of was making me think another Jake mini winner edit here.
Yeah, for me personally, if there was not that idiot Drew who got sixth place, who in his exit interview said that Jake basically ghosted everybody when he got back for like a month, I would have assumed that Jake actually had a real fighting chance here. If you're not going to ghost people, if you're going to win the game, right? So,
yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, Drew was very, yeah, he was salty at the end and that he was leaving. But yeah, like Jake, you know, Jake, yeah, he had this like winner edit potential, like vaguely in some of these episodes early on. I would say especially at the beginning, you know, when he was like making friends on Bello, you know, he originally didn't have their vote. You know, people were wanting to target him, but then he was able to kind of turn it around. And he's always been the guy to, even though he's a target, he's been able to pull himself out of these moments. And he's, you know, we've gotten to this point now, it's been 13 or 14 episodes, whether it's him falling down physically because he's fainting, whether it's him, you know, winning back some game agency because of his social game, or whether strategically he's able to maneuver his way past this, you know, pretty crazy merge, especially the last couple of weeks. You know, he's been able to, you know, always find a way out. And it seems like now this, with an idol, with an advantage, like he's getting an opportunity here at the end to really set himself apart from the rest of the team. I mean, look, he still has a lot of work to do, and we'll eventually see that he's not able to, you know, finish the job. But, you know, this is like, hey, Jake, he's got an idol. He's got an advantage. What if he wins immunity? Then he can really do something cool with the idol. You know, so yes, it did add some potential winner edit equity for Jake here.
Yeah, I really felt that Jake had a great chance to win. Now, if it wasn't for that idiot Drew, who went home in last week's episode in sixth place, who said that Jake basically ghosted everybody for a month, I would have thought that Jake would have won. And I think
I think you misunderstood that. Drew goes to the cast for like a month.
Oh, I thought Jake did.
No. At least that's how I interpreted it. Drew was like, I didn't talk to anyone until the end of the summer.
I have a hard time believing that, like, Austin, he didn't talk to Austin for, like, a whole month.
I mean, maybe Austin was an exception, but...
Yeah, it was, like, my main man.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, I guess the fact that you thought that didn't necessarily...
Yeah, like, that basically ruined it for me because I misinterpreted him. So I never really thought that Jake was going to win. But here's my question for you, Jeremy. I think that Jake really had the hero edit of the season, right? And we know from, you know, just old school Survivor. And when I say old school, I even mean going back into the 30s at this point. You know, it was so clear that the winner had to be super duper liked. And although I agree that D was probably really liked, don't you think that the average person at home was like, oh my goodness, I really want Jake to win when it comes to the final three? And I feel like we've seen that a lot. We saw Carolyn probably being a little bit more of the hero in 44. I think you could argue Mike it was quite a hero in 42, although Marianne was certainly very likable. Xander in 41, Owen in 43. They are making the most likable person the losing finalist, it seems. And I do wonder, like, if you're the casual fan of Survivor, is that a good thing for Survivor to do or not?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to not root for Jake, in my opinion. He never really gave you a reason to dislike him, especially in this episode, too. I just thought he was – this was Jake's episode. Like, D may have won the season and the game and the $1 million, but Jake won the finale. Like, this was Jake's episode through and through. That was a really nice send-off episode for him. And I was – yeah, just like I caught myself rooting for Jake every step of the way this season. And, you know, it got to the end and I was like, hey, I want Jake to win. I think D's going to win. I really want Jake to win. I think that would be the most, maybe not the most satisfying ending, just because I really felt like D played the best game of the season. But yeah, I really wanted Jake to win. I don't think I'm alone in thinking that. You know, a lot of people saw Emily as that as well. And I think when Emily left, you know, Jake kind of took over that role. But yeah, I would say, like, you know, this was Jake's episode. And I think, like, all of the little, you know, just like faux pas and like, just like all the little like things, like the small things, like the numbers and the, you know, oh, what was the numbers? And then he was telling people the Survivor players, like, yeah. Why would you do that? Like, you know, he represents the fandom, I think, in a way, or at least a part of the fandom that is kind of just like, I hate to be like average Joey, but like, he is like, he's like a typical American. Like, he's an all American guy. And, yeah, I think like he had a lot of fans because of that. I think Austin did too. And I think Dee had her fans as well, but like Jake was the one you wanted to root for because he was the underdog. And I think that a lot of these players have had that, I guess, arc or edit or whatever. And I think that, that definitely led to Jake being well received.
Definitely. And I'm just interested to hear. I didn't go on like Survivor Facebook page or anything, but I'd be interested to hear what their reaction is. Like Gertrude and like, Louisiana, like, what does she think about D winning over Jake? Because I remember Survivor 32 when Michelle won, there was a lot of people that were like, oh my God, she shouldn't have won. But it wasn't like Aubrey, who like everybody was saying should have won. That was like, you know, a fan of the show. It was like people were like, oh my God, I can't believe Ty didn't win. It was like the Facebook people, they're just on a different planet.
Yeah. I'll look up what Facebook has to think later on in the show, but we're going to get to this immunity challenge where Jake has the advantage. Basically, it's like kind of a multi-step obstacle course that ends in the puzzle that, ironically enough, Michelle has won twice before. I think they've only done this challenge twice before, and Michelle has won them both times. So this is the first time someone other than Michelle is going to win this puzzle. So basically, they have to go through like this this like army crawl, and they have to, you know, get all these sandbags released from this, you know, I guess the gate or whatever, and then they take the sandbags and they toss it into these little baskets, and then they can get the combination of the numbers that are revealed once you hit the baskets, put in the combination, and then go up the ramp and solve the puzzle. And then whoever solves the puzzle first wins immunity, guaranteed a final four spot. Jake's advantage is that instead of having to toss three sandbags, he only has to toss one. So that is very, you know, that's a very strong advantage, because Jake at the sandbag station tosses that sandbag in about two tries and is right away in the lead going into this puzzle. But he forgets his key that unlocks the puzzle pieces. So Jake loses this lead like that he got for himself earlier on. And it was so frustrating because Austin was right on his tail the whole time. And then we got to a point where we were at the puzzle and Austin is slightly ahead of Jake. And I don't necessarily know if it mattered or anything, but it seems like Jake is like right behind Austin, but while creating that third level of the puzzle, Jake sets a puzzle piece to the side that he doesn't bring into his little puzzle creation station. And Austin solves the puzzle, wins immunity, and Jeff is like, hey, Jake, you were missing a puzzle piece. And he would not let this man forget it. He would not let him forget it. It was like, I felt so bad for Jake. I'm like, Jeff, like, we get it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised that Jeff said that. I think that may be a little bit out of line. I mean, it doesn't change anything about the game, but I don't know. Like, to me, I'd be like, oh my God, I don't want to be thinking about this the entire day. Like, that's going to cloud my judgment. He really is like the Charlie Brown. Like, he's like trying to kick the football and keep missing it, right? Like, the moves he's trying to make don't do it. Even when he has some advantage and something goes right, he's blowing it because he's like missing things and like forgetting stuff. And it's just, it is really such heartbreaking. And it's even more heartbreaking if he doesn't have the idol. Like, at least to me, I'm like, okay, well, at least he's going to be safe, right? Because of the idol, or at least he should be safe because he has the idol. So, yeah, it was a disaster. I do love that Austin, though, you mentioned Michelle Fitzgerald has won these challenges before. It does do a little nod to her and, like, giving it a big old kick at the end like she did in Ko Rong.
Yeah, yeah, it was an ode to that. I don't know if I think it was intentional. That little kick, I think it was a little, cause she did it the second time as well in Winners at War.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, I didn't think too much of it because I really did feel like Austin, at least the way it was edited on the show, it did seem like Austin was ahead. And even if Jake had that puzzle piece, it wouldn't have been enough. Cause the thing with that puzzle is it's basically the same puzzle three times. So like once you get it the first time, it's much easier to get it the second time and the third time. So I really didn't think that Jake had much of a chance to win that challenge after Jake was fumbling it. But we're going to go back to camp. Jake and Austin are going to go on reward. They're going to get a steak and baked potato and carrot cake and wine. As Jake calls it, Pinot Noir. He's going to have some Pinot Noir with Austin. The girls are going to discuss trying to vote out Jake. But it's not going to go anywhere. In fact, Keturah is going to try to get Julie to vote out, D. And that is not going to go very well for Keturah. You know, Julie is basically like saying she wants to go to the end with Keturah, but she has a hard time voting for D because Jake is still in the game and Jake has voted for Julie already. But what they don't know is that Jake has an idol. Except when Jake's on the reward, he tells Austin that he has the idol that he found last week. Wyatt, why? Like, I was screaming at the TV. Why would he tell Austin?
You know, there's a lot of things that Jake has had go, you know, against him this game. Other people are not listening to him when he has the right idea, but it's so indefensible for him to say this. It's like Austin's never had your back. Yeah, he took you on this fucking reward, but he only did it because if he took D, everybody would be talking about getting D out at camp. Keturah and Jake would be trying to turn Julie against her, right? So he only did it because it was strategy, and he said that. So why would you tell him? Listen, I think even telling Keturah he has the idol is rough. The way that I expected this vote to go, Jeremy, pre-finale, is I thought that Jake would probably lose immunity, and I thought that he would get all of the votes except for one, and I thought he would be able to nullify four votes and then he could take that shot. And it really comes down to who does he think is the bigger threat between D, Julie, Austin, and you know, who has immunity. I just can't believe that he just didn't keep it to himself. You're safe, right? You're safe. You can, you know, keep yourself safe. And if everybody votes for you, like you get the sole decision, but instead he seems to want to like jazz it up a little bit so he can, you know, play the idol to like save somebody, but also at the same time, like get somebody else out. It's just a little too much.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm actually defending these players a little bit more now that I've seen, you know, kind of explanation behind these moves, but in real time, it just seems so dumb, like on all of these players just to do what they were doing. And that includes almost everybody in this cast, at one point or another this season. But when it comes to Jake, you know, it's so simple because as a viewer, we're thinking, okay, Jake, you're going to probably get votes at five. And you're going to vote, and everyone's going to vote for you, and you're going to play your idol, and you're going to idol out D or Julie, and that's really going to help your game. But Jake wants to maybe do things a little bit differently. Knowing now what we know, Jake's plan was to get the votes off of him and instead put it on Keturah. And instead of saving the idol for himself, play it for Keturah. It looks like more of a strategic play. The fact that you were able to correctly diagnose where an idol was going, risk your game on the line in the process, and you basically not only control the vote, but you control Keturah's fate in the game. You could just let Keturah go if you really wanted to, but no, you keep Keturah in, and that damages her resume a little bit because she needed you to get to the next stage of the game. So there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of good game ideas in Jake's plan. It just didn't all come together, especially when you look at Keturah's role in this final five vote. So Keturah is going to get the information that, Jake has this idol, and Keturah is gonna you know, say, okay, cool. Like, so how, like, let's vote D and let's hope the idol gets used on you and D will go home with two votes. And I don't know if Katara knew that everyone knew that Jake had the idol. I guess there was some talk about it because when Jake tells Austin, Austin tells D tells Julie, D tells Katara, I guess. I don't know if Katara got that piece of information. Do you remember?
I don't think she knew, but she should have known, right? Like, she should have known that it would have spread between all of the Reba people.
Yeah, so we're going to get to the vote, and Jake is going to stand up and play his idol for Katara. And I was surprised. I thought Katara was gone here, but Jake plays the idol for Katara. What were your thoughts on Jake playing the idol for Katara?
I thought that he was going to play it on Katara. I thought they would align with Julie. I thought that Jake was going to be, you know, a little stubborn and was going to keep it on Julie. That's how I thought it was going to go. Once he played it on Katara and the votes started to come and the first votes for Katara, he's like, yes. And the second one's for Jake. And he's like, oh shit. I thought that Jake might go home because I thought that maybe Dee and Julie put their votes on, Jake. And I thought, man, what a absolute disaster this would be for Jake to finally try to make his quote unquote move and end up little misplayed.
Yeah, I thought D was going home here. I really did. I really thought D was going home. I thought it was going to be, but I thought that D was going to go home and they didn't even need to play the idol. I thought it was going to be two votes on D, one vote on Katara, one vote on Julie, one vote on, Jake. That would have been crazy if, like, he didn't even need to play the idol to get D out. But yeah, it kind of neutralized Jake's idol, and it made it kind of redundant. It didn't add to the final value of the vote. And ultimately, we're going to see that Jake gets a vote, Katara gets a vote, that doesn't count from D. We see that, Julie is getting a vote from Austin. But we don't know how Katara votes. We assume she's voting for D because she's the one pushing for D and she's the one thinking, yeah, D's going to win the game. Yet she votes for Julie, and Julie goes home with a 2-1-1 vote at the end. Oh man, this was the moment D won the game, in my opinion.
This was so, yeah, at this point, I was almost very confident that D was going to win because I thought not only is she going to be able to crush the jury if she can get there, but I also felt like she had a really good chance to win the final immunity, just knowing what type of challenges they had. Now, it wasn't the immunity that I was expecting, but I thought that she had a really good shot to be able to win the immunity as well. But I really thought that Jake was going to go home, even up to that final vote. I was like, I really think this last vote is going to be for Jake. And I'm happy that wasn't the case because I would have felt so bad if that's the way that he went out. But I think that probably would have been one of the craziest tribals of all time if we do see Jay Gone. But I gotta say, I love this tribal because it's very rare that we get a final five votes that isn't like completely predictable.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of predictable final five votes. Here's a question I'm gonna ask you, Wyatt. Because Couture, like Jake's vision of how this vote was gonna go. I think that like Jake had an idea as to what this vote was going to look like, and D was going to go home. If he pulls it off, how does this game end? How does D goes home at five?
Yeah.
Julie's at the final four with Austin, Jake, and Katara. How does this game end?
I think a lot of it obviously is going to come down to who wins that immunity at final four. I think that, you know, gun to the head, you know, you got to say Austin, right? Like he was the only person that was competitive with D at the end there. But, you know, listen, we don't know how good Julie would have done. I have to think she probably would have done okay. And even though Jake was an absolute buffoon in that challenge, like I do think a lot of that was because of the pressure of being next to D and knowing how well D is doing. If D wasn't there, maybe he doesn't stomp like a fucking child on the immunity challenge. So my gut instinct is that Austin wins. I think that he probably takes Katara, I would think, at that point, because I think he's going to take the person that's the least threat. And I think at that point in time, it's probably got to be Katara, right? Because I would think that Jake would earn enough points to put him above Katara, I would think. So I would say that we get Katara and Julie in fire, would expect Julie to win, And yeah, I could definitely see Jake potentially winning there. It's tough though, because Austin had so many votes for somebody who, in my opinion, was like outclassed by D. Imagine if he gets there with somebody like Julie, who had to be told by D to be safe, or someone like Jake who really couldn't get anything going into the final five. I think that Jake has a shot, but I probably would think that Austin probably would win.
Yeah, so I've thought about this, and I wanted to share it, but I also wanted to get your thoughts on it. But yeah, I was thinking that it would have been Austin winning that immunity. He is going to take Julie to fire himself. And Julie said in an exit interview that she thinks that Austin probably beats her in fire. So I'm going to take that assumption and run with it. Austin beats Julie in the fire. So not only does Austin win the final immunity challenge, he wins the fire challenge. Keturah and Jake are there at the end with him. And I really have a hard time seeing how the jury can award Keturah or Jake the win. I think that Keturah gets some respect, but we might even see an Austin 8-0 sweep. And I think had that had happened, we would have seen Austin maybe a little bit differently. Maybe we would have seen him have more of a say in the Kelly vote. Because I do think that Austin got a lot of credit for that Kelly vote, at the end. And we didn't really see a whole lot of that in the actual episode. But I think that was kind of Drew's move. At least Drew was the one that was kind of pushing that ball in that Kelly boot episode. But I think that Austin, if he's in the final three with Jake and Keturah, especially if neither of them have the opportunity to win at fire at four, you know, I think Austin has by far the best resume and he probably wins the game.
But yeah, that's, I do that's think fine. Though that like if Jake is like has the best move the entire season, because at this point D's out and, you know, D basically is say Julie, right? So I do wonder, like, is the biggest move the best move at that point? Because I just don't know. Is this jury really going to reward somebody that goes into fire? I just don't get that vibe from them. But then again, I didn't get that vibe from like
that, you know, makes sense.
Yeah, I just didn't get the vibe from them. I just feel like it's a little bit more of an analytical type of group. I think it's one that probably doesn't put a whole lot of stock into the fire, but I thought that before, and people have shockingly put, you know, it in there. I guess the one thing I would say is this, is because if Jake has a more viable reason to win the game, do we see maybe some people that swing who, you know, might have voted for D go over to him instead of Austin? Do we see somebody like Bruce who, listen, I don't know why Bruce voted for Austin. It seemed by the episode it was an anti-D vote. At least that's what the edit tried to make it look like. You know, does he maybe go for Jake if Jake is a actual viable winner as opposed to a distant third in the viewer's mind? There's a lot of questions like that to me that answer. I mean, I would think that Caleb would try to look for any option to be able to vote for Jake, because Jake did, you know, try to save him, I would think. I would think that maybe Kelly would try to look for a way as well, because he was loyal to her. I don't know. It would be interesting to see, but I think that you're on the right track. I do think that we probably would see an Austin win, but I think that Jake would be drawing live, though.
Yeah, definitely. Jake's probably the second place player that, you know, gives Austin a little bit of a challenge at that final tribal. But we're gonna get to this final four immunity challenge. It's the one where you have to take these bowls, go across this little mini obstacle that forces you to like move your knees up, and you have to set all of these bowls, you know, and stack them up vertically. Whoever can get all 17 bowls to stack up vertically without knocking over this, you know, contraption will win the final immunity. It's a very interesting final immunity because it's endurance based, but it's not like who wants it the most kind of thing. Like, and I don't know, like we've seen more of those immunity challenges at the end. And I prefer those because I just feel like you can get drama out of it. It might not necessarily be the most compelling drama, but one of these seasons, I want to see them like, just stand on a pole and like, or stand on a stump and just how long can you go kind of thing.
Yeah, I really could see that being the case for, like, Survivor 50 or something like that, where it's like, we made 50 seasons, like, this is what we're going to do. But I really enjoyed this Final Immunity. I really felt that we were going to get the one where they put the balls into, like, the little maze and they had to catch them and everything. And those were great and everything. It is fun to see. But I do think that it really does, you know, obviously going to favor people that have better reflexes, quicker reflexes, and that's going to skew towards the people that are a little bit younger, where I do feel like for this challenge, it is a little bit of an equalizer, right? Because you can be the most athletic, but if you don't have any, you know, amount of self-awareness to be able to see where you're, you know, able stepping, you could easily be like Jake and knock things down. I think this really is like the tortoise and the hare. And I like that for a Final Immunity. I like people to be frustrated, you know. I think ideally, like, my Final Immunity, if it's not going to be just like hold on to this pole, like the OG, like, seasons, would be something similar to this. Maybe, you know, the one where they have to like hold the rope as they move to balance, something like that, where it really is like rinse and repeat. You are going to fail. You are going to be upset. You know, we saw this immunity, I think, for Benjy Bergen's season, when Chrissy won it. It was like, she was like, it was the same thing. It was sacking, but they had to like, it was like a maze they had to go through. So things like that, I think, are a lot more fun to see. But I really enjoyed this immunity. I liked it a lot better than just, you know, doing the balls and having to do the endurance of it all.
It's funny, you know, I was looking back. Obviously in 44, we had the balls and the one that they moved around the maze. But, last year, season 43, this was also the Final Immunity Challenge. So I wonder if that's like a scheduling thing. Like, oh, yeah. Okay. Cause the first survivor of the filming season was 45. So that's what they do for the Final Immunity for 45. And then for 44 and 42, we also saw, you know, the ball maze in the same spot. And then in 41, it was a different challenge. That doesn't necessarily apply, but, 42, 44 were the same immunity challenge. It was different than this one. So that was, just a small little Survivor history tidbit there. But yeah, so it's Dee and Jake really neck and neck. Austin loses his stack a couple of times early on, and, Keturah is going at a snail's pace, which isn't necessarily the worst strategy for this challenge, but, you know, when you've got people ahead of you, you know, it's not the best strategy. So yeah, it's going to be between Dee and Jake, and Jake's going to fall. Jake's stack is going to fall, and he's clearly frustrated. I think he was like one or two bowls behind Dee at this point. And Jake gets to the point where he just doesn't care. Well, like, it's not that he doesn't care, but he's frustrated. He doesn't think that this contraption is going to break, but he's like stepping on the challenge, and the challenge ends up breaking, and he gets disqualified for the Final Immunity Challenge. We've never seen this before.
It's actually really interesting because we've never seen this on Survivor, but this is going to be a real deep cut for some people. But if you watch the recent season of Barstool Survivor, this happened as well. Somebody broke the challenge during the immunity, and unlike Survivor, they said, hey, if you can fix the challenge, you can keep playing. And I would have loved to have seen Jake trying to, like, engineer this. I think it was probably a broke chain, which, you know, is probably going to be harder to break. But I would love to see Jake trying to fix it on the fly. I think that would be really fun.
Jake for Survivor Barstool 4. How about that?
Yeah. Listen, he's a Boston guy, right? Like, he'd fit right in. But, yeah, I think that it was – I do think a big reason why Jake ended up just like trudging through there and breaking it is because Dee's to his immediate right. So he's probably thinking like, oh my goodness, imagine when you're back in school and you have like a 50 question test and you're on question like number 11 and like three kids like turn it in there next to you. You're like, what the fuck? How do these kids get through this entire thing? Am I dumb? Am I just so stupid? And then you get a little antsy, a little bit anxiety written. And you know, it's a little bit different, right? Cause the test, you can take your time, but I do wonder if it was just like, hey, Dee is doing so well, like he's getting in his own head here.
I think he was also thinking, you know what, like I've had to focus on getting my knees up every single time, and now that I don't have a stack, like I don't necessarily have to anymore. But I digress. You know, Dee was
gonna not tell
whether or not Jake was doing that. It was just kind of for drama.
This was obviously great TV, but this was a big fail for Jake's law career. Can you imagine hiring him and you're like, dude, this dude cracks under pressure so easy. How's he going to defend me in court?
Oh, man. Well, he's a prosecutor.
Yeah, good thing he doesn't have to get clients. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see about, I don't know. I don't think that Jake's law career is being harmed by this, but I digress. Yes, Dee's gonna win Final Unity, and she's gonna put Katara and Jake in fire, and that's what we expect. You know, Austin is thinking, well, maybe I should try to get Dee to put me in fire so that I have, you know, a little resume boost at the end. And I don't know. You and I were, I would call ourselves Survivor purists. We don't necessarily look at the final, fire challenge as a major resume booster. And if you look at like Survivor 44, like that wasn't a huge deal. And it wasn't a huge deal here as well, but we've seen that the final fire challenge can sway people's opinions. And, you know, so it is something to think about, because you don't know how the jury is going to respect the move. You know, is it going to be something that awards them their vote or not? I would think that most people wouldn't put so much stock into it. But there is a little bit of stock there. And so for that reason, Dee is not going to put Austin in fire, because she doesn't want him to have that resume boost or potential to boost your resume.
I'm trying to do like the historic context of fire in my head. I kind of think that like fire, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think that it's obviously very important now. It's been there for 10 seasons now at this point, but I wonder, like, is fire really that big of a deal, or is it like really just a big moment for people that don't have other moments? Like, you look, like, Chris Underwood, obviously, that's a massive moment for him, but he didn't have a whole lot. Same thing for Vendry Bergen, didn't have a whole lot. Gabler didn't have a whole lot. These are the people that really benefited from fire the most, and these are people that also had some of the weakest games on paper. Is fire something that's completely overrated, and it really only applies to people that are, like, really in distance? Like, yeah, like, maybe for Jake and Katara, it's a resume builder, because they're the ones that are struggling. But if you're Austin, like, is your game really going to be improved this much? Like, maybe if it was you going against Dee, it would, you know, give you a little bit of brownie points for having cojones to put your game on the line against a bigger threat. But I can't imagine that Austin's game is going to get any more brownie points if he goes in the fire with Jake or Katara.
I mean, yes, but you don't know, because you don't know how these jurors are thinking. Like, with Caleb, like, you know, Caleb and Austin were on the same beach for like what, like 2 days, 3 days. So you don't know how Caleb is thinking. What if Caleb really does value that? You know, what if Kelly values that? You really have no idea, like who, like what these jurors are thinking. And if you can have any small edge, you want to take it. So I think that, that is like the reasoning behind that. I don't necessarily think it does a whole lot, but that being said, you never know. So I think that is like more than anything reason enough to be like, hey, you know, I want to take this opportunity to try to boost my game if I could.
Yeah, definitely. I just felt like that Austin had done enough in the game, and I know that we kind of were dismissing him because of how bad that round was where Emily went, but I kind of think that he was a clear second. You know, just in the way that he was judged against Dee, that I kind of think that unless he actually did get to go against Dee, I just don't think his stock would raise that much. Like, do you think that he would even gain, like, another vote if he went into fire?
I think the final four fire making, it really, like, the only way you develop brownie points is if you take out the front runner. That to me is like, because you look at who's won fire before, right? You know, you have Jake, didn't get any votes. Heidi got one vote. And I don't necessarily think it was because she won the fire-making challenge. Gabler won the season and won fire, but he also took out the undisputed frontrunner for the season, Jesse. You know, in 42, Mike beats Jonathan, but that jury was pretty set on Marianne winning the game. 41, you know, that was... I think Deshaun won fire against Heather, and Deshaun still lost the game, you know? So I think that it really, the only way you can use fire to really benefit you is if you take out the front runner. and kind of make it an open game. Like in Winners at War, it was Sarah and Tony. And I think either of them, whichever one of them is in the end, they're probably the front runner. So that is like, that to me is what explains it. You have to take out the front runner if you want to actually, win the game.
Oh my God. I just thought that we might have really had a Sarah win in All Winners. And that would have been so disgusting to me.
I'm sorry for bringing that up. But that would have happened.
Yeah.
That would have happened. And you look at, I'm looking back a little bit at, you know, all the Fire winners and, you know, what and who they beat, at Fire. And I do think that, in every instance of the Fire Making Challenge, you know, I think there's been three winners that have won the game, or four, I should say. Because Tony's on the list. So it's Ben, it's Wendell, it's Chris Underwood, and it's and Tony and Gabler. All five. So those out of, so now this is the 11th season they've done it. So out of 11, five of them have gone on to win the game and six have not. But in all of those cases, I think the five cases where the winner did win, they ended up taking out someone that would have probably won the game if they were in Final Three. So, but yeah, Jake's going to get Fire against Keturah, and he's going to win. He's going to win. And he has this emotional moment where he feels empowered and he feels like he finally got his moment in the sun kind of deal. And Keturah is going to go home and she's going to tell everyone that she's a lawyer, which I thought was so funny because earlier in the episode when Julie left, Julie told Keturah to go to law school. And yeah. I think Jake said something similar as well. And then ironically enough, you know, she's already gone to law school. She doesn't need to go again. You know, she's already a civil rights lawyer. So I just thought that storyline, had a cute little ending there, with Julie, Keturah, and Jake.
I was so glad that she did that. It's because this is like one of the only times that you could really have a real reveal. I mean, I guess you could do it at the reunion the way that Julie did. But to me, it was like because of the way that Julie had said it and the way that this was, you know, this is Keturah's moment. This is her swan song here, right? And I think that if I was her, I'd have been so irritated that fucking Jeff is letting Jake have a fucking monologue when it was my moment. Like, I would have took my fucking tribe, like my torch and like been like, no, you're going to snuff this right now because I'm not standing here. It's my moment, like it's not Jake. I did love that she does do that reveal, and loved Jake's face. And I wonder if Julie had told the other people on jury, and I know that's not the case now, but at the moment I was like, I wonder if they're gonna put together that we have three lawyers at the final five.
I think that it was like we thought a little bit about there being three lawyers the final three, or you know, Julie and Keturah revealing that they're lawyers at the final three. You know, we envisioned what that may have looked like. And unfortunately we didn't get it in the final three, but we did get it in some way, shape, or form here. So I like that had a storyline at the end. And it kind of wrapped up there really nicely, but yeah, we're going to go to the final three. Going into this final three, you know, the jurors are going to have a moment in the sun back in the jungle where they're going to, you know, discuss the final three. And they're all giving, like, pretty strong arguments for all three of them, I'd say. Jake is going to get some love from Caleb and Emily, and Dee's going to get some love. Austin's going to get some love. So it really does feel like, you know, all three of these players are going to go into Final Tribal with some chance to sway over this jury. And you know, the way that they do the questioning and the editing around the questioning, you know, they can chop up whatever questions they want and put them in whatever order they want. So we really don't know exactly how the sequencing of this final tribal is really going on in real time. But the way it starts out, it does seem like Jake gets a lot of credit, for, you know, kind of going through the game, and his game is seen in the strongest light it ever has been. You know, we're looking at, you know, during the game that it isn't necessarily, you know, well perceived, but it's well perceived by the jury, and they kind of give Jake this understanding of, hey, we understand the game that you played, and we thought you played a good game. Maybe not necessarily one that warrants my vote, but at least we recognize your game, and we respect it. I think that's kind of what Jake was getting in that first half of the final tribal.
Yeah, and as we mentioned earlier, you know, I mistakenly thought that Drew was talking about Jake had ghosted everybody, so I never really expected Jake to be able to win. But once again, if I didn't know that, I think I would have really thought that Jake had a shot here, because when you're breaking down, you're crying at Tribal, Kendra's grabbing her heart. To me, I did feel like he was pulling on some heartstrings, and I thought that potentially could be effective. And the jury is not super big, right? Like, the jury is a little bit smaller. What was it, like 8 votes or something like that? So it wasn't like a jury of, like, 10 or something like that. So I thought there was a shot that maybe he could steal it away, especially when you got somebody like Kelly and Kendra where, like, Jake didn't vote them out. Like, he, you know, he wanted to stay loyal to these guys and take out one of the people from Reba, and that's just not the way that the game went. So I thought there was a shot that Jake really could maybe pull the highway robbery here.
Yeah. I think that we can look at Jake's game here, and we can say, okay, you know, yeah, he had many chances to flip the game, and for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. And I think Caleb mentioned that in his, like, confessional. He's like, Jake had the right instincts the whole time. He just didn't have the right pieces there. And I kind of credit the Reba 4 for that, because I think that they were right in taking out the players. You know, we talked a lot in the middle of the game about how taking Jay and Sifu out really, at the time that they did, really made it seem like Reba wasn't all that tight. And then taking out Caleb, someone that had opportunities to flip the game, that was pretty key. And then you have, Kelly, who was a real linchpin for Bello. I think once Kelly left, we knew that Reba was in control of the game. And that really hurt players like Jake and Katora. Well, not as much Katora because she was kind of along with the flips, but it really hurt Jake. It really hurt Emily and people that were in the middle that would have had a chance to flip the game. They kind of had to play Reba's game and go along with it. But Jake was the one that survived. Jake was the one that, you know, ultimately made it out, and I think that deserves some merit.
When we did a draft of, like, you know, who's gonna win this game at, say, like, final 10 or so, I think that, like, Jake was, like, next to the bottom. It was like Bruce and then him. So for him, and the reason why was not because we didn't feel like he could win a jury vote. You know, at this time, we felt like that he was getting a lot of edit. You know, he was passing out and coming back. We thought that he had a lot of winner equity in terms of the edit. But the thing is like, he was obviously on the bottom. And we were like, there's no way that he's going to be able to survive this and make it to the end. And for him to be able to survive this, really good showing from him, even though he didn't get any votes. And I loved the way that he took about this. You know, obviously, he didn't get any votes, so it was a little bit of a moot point, but I did love the fact that he was attacking Dee and Austin and saying these people played safe. They played passive. You know, they were aligned the entire time and they didn't make any moves. And I think that if you're going to win in the new era with a game like Jake, I think that's the way that you have to go. I think that you not only emotionally appeal to the jury, but you also say, like, hey, like, I am the embodiment of Survivor in this new era, which is, like, you know, take everything, you know, and swing the defenses. And, you know, obviously that's not the way that I think that the game should be played, but I do think that that's, like, a really strong narrative that Jake had. And I think that maybe if Dee wasn't there, and maybe it was the Austin and Julie that we thought about earlier that it was a possibility, or the Jake and Katora and Austin, I do think that maybe that would have really resonated, where it's like, hey, Austin, like, you know, sheeped Reba the entire time, even if that's not accurate, and Katora did the same thing until it was too late, and I was the one that was always taking the shots. I do think that's something that is an interesting way to phrase the game at the new era here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that I think ultimately we were looking at Jake is as a big win. Like, Jake, this was Jake's game on trial, essentially. And I think that in a different, like, if he didn't have D there, you know, I look at his game a lot differently, but unfortunately, you know, he had two stronger cases right next to him. But also in this first part, like, I was talking, like, watching it with some friends, and I was like, wow, like, Jake's gonna win this, because the answers that D was giving were not, like, very winnery. I don't know, like, it was just, like, she was like, oh yeah, I got lucky, and, you know, she didn't really share her game in that first half, so I was thinking, like, wow, like, Jake's gonna win this, like, I really thought that there was a shot there, but then in the second half, you know, D and Austin kind of take over, and it really figured things out.
I really thought that D was going to shoot herself in the foot when she was talking to Emily, and Emily's like, when did you use just your brain? And she was like, never. I always play with emotion, and in my mind, and listen, I think it's a fine answer, but that's obviously not the answer that Emily wanted or respected. I mean, granted, she gave her the vote anyway, but yeah, I really thought that she might be shooting herself in the foot at that point. But I really think that I don't know how it was in real time, but by the edit, you know, the end there, we're going to get that big reveal that, you know, she was the person that was the mastermind behind the, you know, Julie being safe and Emily going home. And not only do I think that really put the dagger in Austin's game for a lot of people that may have been considering him, but in the case of Jake, if you really were somebody who thought that, hey, Jake had a shot, well, Jake doesn't get the final saying. You know, he doesn't get the final word. The final word is really going to come from D here. And I think that that would be really difficult to imagine somebody like Jake being able to win when he doesn't get that final moment, that final thing that right before the jury goes up and votes. And that's why I think that we need to return back to at least a speech for the final three. Whether that's before or after the questioning, you can do whatever. But I think you got to give each person one last chance to get to the jury instead of being like, whatever question was asked last, that person gets the final say.
I wish that they had like their moment, and I still wish that Final Tribal was like formatted to where every juror and every finalist got their moment on the podium and on in the sun, and just, you know, kind of wrap up storylines in a way. But yeah, you know, I really thought that D was struggling in that first half, but again, like I mentioned earlier, you know, people are like the way that they chop up these questions, you know, it really could be in any order. And I think that Austin revealed in an interview that he did post-game that the D revealing that she told Julie at the 7 vote where Emily went that the idol was going against her. So she kind of claimed that move for her, and Austin felt at that point that his game really was kind of over, but that was when he started to pick up, you know, and that's when his answer started to get a little bit better, and that's when the jury started to figure things out on his end. But at the end of the day, like, we're going into the final vote, I really feel like D's getting 7 votes here. Like, I really think that she's getting all but she's getting all but Drew's, and she's gonna win the game. And we go to the voting booth, and I think Kendra's the first one to get a voting confessional, and it's in big bold Austin letters. So yeah, Austin's getting at least one vote that isn't Drew, and then we're also going to see Austin Drew voting for Austin. We're going to see D getting votes from Julie and Emily?
Yeah, I believe so. I know Emily was like, if you spend any money on this boy, I'm coming and taking the money from you, or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. And then, I don't know, to me, I was thinking like, well, like, Jake could get votes from Bruce and Caleb maybe, but it really, you know, was kind of over for Jake at that point.
Well, Caleb walks up to the fucking thing and goes, Jake! And I'm like, oh, no, well, at least Jake's got one vote.
Jake, he said J.
Oh.
Which was...
What the fuck? I thought he said Jake.
The J tribal.
Oh.
But I can understand why you would think Jake. That would have been funny.
I was pissed when Jake got no votes, because I was like, what the fuck, Caleb? Why would you cock-tease him like this?
But yeah, so D is gonna get 2 votes already, and then Austin's gonna get 2 votes. Austin's gonna get a 3rd vote, which I think we were a little surprised by. But I kind of expected that vote to be for Bruce, because we did kind of see when D was referring to Bruce at the final tribal, it was like, Bruce, you should have played your damn idol. And so that, yeah. that to me was like, well, Dee's not getting Bruce's vote anymore, but Dee's going to get 5 votes, from Caleb, Kelly, Julie, and Keturah, and, Emily. And she's going to win the game. 5
Yeah. Dee. And we saw Bruce a little bit, you know, I think, Dee was like, you should have played your damn idol. And then they did like the little cut where it was almost like Bruce took offense to that or not. And I don't know if that was the reason why. I doubt it. I'm sure he just thought that Austin probably played a better game overall. Although I just don't know how you can think that. Like just from what we know from watching the show, I don't know how anybody can really judge Austin over, Dee. But yeah. Listen, it comes down to what they know and what they, you know, saw with their own eyes.
Yeah, we're at the hour mark, so I don't want to spend too much time more on this. But yeah, Dee is the winner of Survivor 45. It's what we thought was going to happen, and well deserved. She definitely was. She definitely deserved it. She was the best player of the season, I would say. I think you agree with me on that. But where is she all time? Because we have had a little bit of a discussion on this, and I think there's multiple correct answers for this question. But, you know, Dee, at least in the new era, it's hard to stack Dee's game to others and think that it's comparable. I think Dee is definitely the best winner of the new era. I think you and I can agree with that, because I know what you think already, because we've talked about this.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think about Dee, right, is I think that she is, in my opinion, at the very best, probably like a borderline top 10, at the very worst, probably just outside of the top 15, which I think is good. You know, as you mentioned, it's really difficult to compare, you know, the winners. It's almost like comparing like presidencies or comparing like sports teams. It's like as the game evolves, as the world evolves, as the game of Survivor evolves, things are different. But for me, what I look at is I do think Austin getting 3 votes is a real big, like strike against her, right? Because if somebody is going to have, she had a competitive Final Tribal Council vote. She did, right? So if you have a competitive Final Tribal Council vote, how much stock can you really give to somebody, especially somebody that you didn't even try to take out? You know, we never had her mention talking about taking out Austin. You know, she even put him in the fire and give him the opportunity to get 4th. And because he is going to get so many votes to her, you got to wonder, like, hey, like, maybe Austin could have done one other thing to be able to switch to this game. And then we're not even talking about Dee as a winner. It is tough for me to rate her too high because she had a you know, a competitive Final Tribal. If we did get a, you know, unanimous vote, then I think it'd be really tough not to put her in the top 5. But that's not what we got. We got a competitive Tribal, and I think that it's tough for me to put her too high.
But is that just how it was edited?
Votes were that Austin got 3 votes. So it's like, it's not based on the edit. The edit probably makes her look better than she probably actually was, right? Because to us, it was very clear that like Dee was going to be the winner from a good amount of time. Like I know the Las Vegas books had her as the favorite from like, basically the beginning of the merge. So I think a lot of people were on the idea that Dee was going to win. But it didn't seem so cut and dry like we thought it was. Like, I know me and you talked about Dee having 70 to 75% of equity going into the finale, we thought. And for her to be able to come away losing 3 votes to Austin, a guy who we thought basically had almost no equity to win, I do think is a little bit of a strike against her because there's obviously things that we weren't seeing, whether that's pro-Austin, anti-Dee, doesn't matter. He's there with her. And I think it's tough for me to put her too high. You know, I still think that she's probably like 12 or 13 if I had to go, but I still think it's really good.
I think that I think what you're saying is fair. That being said, I think that I just don't agree fully. I think that it's important that like the fact that it was a competitive tribal versus a unanimous tribal, like Mike Gabler won 7-1. Does that make him a better winner than Dee?
Well, the difference between Gabler and I think with Dee here is that Dee, at least from what we know, would have beaten Keturah in the end, would have beaten Julie in the end, would have probably beaten Drew in the end. Where Gabler, it was clear that he was going to lose to Jesse, probably losing to Cody, probably losing to Carla. I mean, we don't know this for a fact, but it seems that way. So it's like, if you're going to say, hey, like Gabler, what's his flaws? His flaws isn't that he had a competitive Final Tribal. His flaws is that, you know, he basically was going to lose to the person that got 4th, 5th, and 6th. And also, he wasn't ever wanting to take out the person that got 6th and 4th, right? So that's where you draw the line on Gabler. But for her, it was like the person that she was wanting to go to the end with. Like, if you asked Dee, who is your final three? She probably would have said Julie and Austin due to the fact that she never, ever went against either of them. So if your final three is going to be somebody that is going to take 3 votes off of you, and who knows what would have happened if Julie was there. Maybe 1 or 2 people vote for Julie, and you're looking at, like, you know, a 4-3-2 or something crazy like that. And then who knows what could have kind of went awry with that. But I just think that if your plan is to go to the end with this person, and that person is going to take votes off of you, almost half of the votes, I mean, you have to think, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. It was quite the tribal, I'd say, at the end. But I really think that Dee's game was won before that. Like, I really think, like, she had to claim her victory, yes, but just her overall body of work is one of the best, I'd say, by a woman, for sure. And there are a lot of factors I put into, like, who I think is the best winner and who's not. And, like, the talent level of the cast does play a role. And I do think that this cast was not very good game playing wise. That's just, like, that's my opinion. I think you would agree with that. But at the same time, that doesn't necessarily completely discredit those who have won with, you know, those not so strong gameplay casts. Like, I think, you look at Kim Spradlin and her win. I really think that we haven't seen a woman dominate like Dee did since Kim. I really don't. Not saying that Dee is better than Kim Spradlin. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm not saying that Dee is the best female winner since Kim. I think that there are some female winners that have played stronger games against stronger casts, like Sarah in Game Changers, I think, is probably the best female winner since Kim. I don't think it really topped her game since.
Yeah, it's tough really to compare, like, the returning seasons to the newbie seasons. But my thing is I would agree with you. I do think that she probably is the best, at least newbie winner since Kim in terms of the females. And I would honestly say, even if we're considering the males as well, I'm having a hard time thinking maybe Tony from Kageyan would probably be the only one that I would really put even higher than her. I do think that in terms of what we see, what we value, she's a lot higher than the 12 or so that I was spitting out. But, you know, I'm looking at the results. I'm looking at, like, the actual jury vote. But from what we see on TV, you know, she's so dominant in what she was doing. You know, it almost felt like it was like the Cochrane, like, fans versus favorites, the way that it was so easy for her and really Reba as a whole to be able to navigate this season. And as you mentioned, like, this probably is not the strongest cast out there. But, you know, the same argument that I say to, you know, protect, like, Kim Spradlin against people that down talk her is, like, is the cast bad, or is the winner just so, like, so superior to them, like, so good at the game that they make them look bad? It's hard to say. I think a lot of times you kind of have to look at, like, hey, did these people ever get a shot to play again? Do they talk about the game? Do they do interviews? If so, can you kind of, you know, figure out what type of strategy, you know, what their level is? But I feel like this cast is obviously very smart on paper. I just don't necessarily know if they were accustomed to Survivor, but that's not, to me, that's not a knock on Dee. That's just, like, she made them look bad. Reba made them look bad in general for, you know, 5 people on Emily plus Bello to basically, you know, align with them to take out people like Jay Maya and Sifu, and to still align with them to take out people like Kendra and Bruce later on. It really just shows how good that not only she, but that entire group was. Like I mentioned, is that what Jeff Probst really wants? Does he want, like, the alliance of 4 to make it all the way to the final 6 without taking shots at each other? Probably not, but it is effective.
Yeah, I would say that Dee's game should not be penalized because of the people around her. I really don't think that. If I had to put a number on it, like a vague number, I could see her as high as maybe like number 8, number 9. Like, there's a legitimate top 10 case for Dee. I'll listen to one of those. I think she's probably more in those early teens, definitely in the top 15, which that's the top third. We have 45 yeah. winners now. And I think that D's game stacks up against some of the best. So credit to D, played a great game, a great winner, great representative for this season. I do think that the season in and of itself is a lot better because D, like if Austin had won, I would have been very disappointed. Granted, I think if he did win, he probably would have been edited a little bit differently.
For sure.
That being said, I think that D played the best game, and you know, when the best player wins the game, it's never a bad outcome.
Definitely. I one of the things is, it was like with the new era, you really just never know what you're going to get. You know, Erica, I think, kind of came out of nowhere. You know, there was episodes where she didn't get any confessionals. So for her to end up being the winner is something that I know a lot of people didn't expect. I didn't even expect her to win until the actual votes came down. Gabler, even more so. Marianne, I think there was always a little bit of a question of, you know, is she getting edited because she's like the hero, or is she being edited this much because she's going to be the winner? I know that was a pretty competitive finale. You know, I think you could argue that Mike potentially had a shot, Lindsay had a shot, maybe even Jonathan outside of a shot. You know, 44, even though Yam Yam was the clear front runner, you know, Carolyn Carson, you know, even Heidi had some truthers out there that thought that she could win. This is the first time that I felt like the consensus of the fandom says, D's definitely going to win this, and then that person actually did.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, any last words on the season, Wyatt, before we wrap up here?
I didn't love the season. I think of the five new era seasons, I'd probably put it at fourth. But as we've mentioned before, Survivor that's not the best is still Survivor, and it's still better than 99.999% of everything that's on TV. And as somebody that covers reality TV at a nauseam amount of level like we do, it's always great to have Survivor on, and it's great to have these hypothetical discussions that we've had the entire time and being able to know that I really still at this time still don't know shit because there's things that, you know, I tried to predict and am completely wrong week in and week out. So it's just a great show, and I'm happy for it, and I'm excited for 46.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously this season is – technically the longest season of Survivor. We saw 90-minute episodes throughout. And I'm honestly curious why. I know we haven't really had this discussion. I don't want to start this, you know, 15, 30-minute discussion about it. But I wonder if the 90-minute episodes played a role in kind of how this was edited. Because I think we saw a lot of, you know, questionable decision-making from the cast, specifically with the Emily vote. And I wonder if it was a normal 60-minute season, if maybe some of the decision-making was cut out, that we would have seen a different, you know, maybe more exciting result, you know, maybe some more surprising moves. And I wonder if the 90 minutes actually hurt Survivor in that regard. That being said, you know, I do like that the longer episodes were there. I felt like we got better we got to learn more about the people that were in the game, and we were able to root for all of, like, I do think that everyone had rooting equity at the end. You know, everyone got their moment in the sun. Everyone got their hero moment. Some got their villain moments as well. But we got everyone looking like a hero at one point or another during the season, I would say. And, you know, that's important. I think you want compelling people to make TV. And I think that, individually, like, this cast was very impressive. I just think with the game, I don't necessarily know if this cast really stood out. I really don't think we're going to see too many of these people on Survivor again. You know, maybe Emily, if she can find a way to, like, sneak on a returnee season, but she said she may not necessarily be interested. D, if she wants to come back for, like, a winter season, I definitely would be entertaining by that. I would love to see D on the challenge. I think that she could totally beast the challenge, like, immediately, like, kind of like how Casey has done it. You know, for those of you that listen to the challenge, know what I'm talking about. I would love to see Austin on the challenge. I think he would be a good addition, especially if him and D are still together, which it does seem like they are, you know, 6-ish months later, after the game. So that's exciting to see. Maybe USA3 gives him a call. That would be an interesting dynamic to see that relationship and their storyline kind of continue. But honestly, like, I don't feel like I need to see most of this cast again. Like, I kind of am just like, you know what? You got a chance to play. You prove that you're not a good player, or that you are in D's case. And yeah, like that's really it. I really don't think that this cast is gonna see a lot of returnees in the future.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's tough, right? You never know when Survivor is going to do a returning season. And then when they do, they probably would do all new era. So depending on when they do it, they may have to pull some people here. But I agree with you. I feel like this story has ended for a lot of people. Similar to you, I would like to see D on the challenge. Austin, I'm okay with it if it's Challenge USA. I don't want to see him on the real show. Yeah, I don't want to see people on the real challenge unless they're going to like fight and like hook up. And I'm not sure if that's going to be, Austin, but I think D just being like a competitive physical asset is worth a shot. I actually would really like to see Sabaya as well. I think she would be really good, especially on the Challenge USA. I think gives me a lot of like Michaela vibes, you know, military background, very hard ass. I think you could play very well. Branding would be funny for the memes as well. But yeah, I don't need to see too many of these people. I don't need to see really anybody back on Survivor other than, like, yeah, I'd be okay with D coming back. Maybe Savaya, but that's about it. As far as the link, I don't need to see that. I really don't. Listen, I love the stunt casting on The Amazing Race, but I'd much rather see some people from, like, Amazing Race, like, 44. I mean, Survivor 44 get on there. But in terms of the episode length, I actually think that the 90 minutes saved the season from being like a bottom tier season. Because for me, if it was 60 minutes, I just think that it really would have been the Reba show the entire time. And it just would have been so boring to watch and so frustrating. Where at least with the 90 minute episodes, at least we got a little bit of a peel back on some of these other people. Even though Couture, basically from a game perspective, I don't know how she can have fans. Because she's like really made the season terrible. Like every single time there's going to be something interesting she wasn't involved in. But obviously we got to know her and some of her background and everything, and I think that's why she has a lot of fans, and I think that we wouldn't have got that otherwise, and I think that we got a little bit more of a peel back on Emily. I'm sure we would have got that anyway with 60 minutes. It was a big part of the season, but they dedicated more time to it. You know, we got to know about Kendra and her father and that relationship, and I doubt we would have seen that. You know, we saw Jake. Would we even see him pass out if it was 60 minutes? I don't know if they would even have the time. So I really think that it saved us, because this was a boring season on paper. You just look at the votes, boring, boring, boring. But the people, I think, made it somewhat, you know, viewable. And with 90 minutes, we got that. But with 60 minutes, I don't know if we would.
Yeah. I definitely think we should keep the 90 minutes. But I just thought that might have played a role into it. But we'll be back for the 90-minute episodes for Survivor 46 at the end of February. I believe we are at a February 28 premiere.
Yeah. And if you're a diehard Survivor fan, you don't have to wait that long to see some Survivor alumni. Parvati and Sandra, you know, they're on the Traitors next season.
Absolutely. And we will also be covering that for Reality Daily. We are the most comprehensive reality TV podcast in all of the land. So any reality TV show, we're probably covering it. And if we're not, why don't you give us a shout out on social media and we'll probably give it a look. So be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you get your Reality Daily podcasts, and stick around for what's coming up next on Reality Daily. Look in that feed and see what you got. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch y'all on the flip side.